All right. I'd like to thank all of you.
Does this work? This works a little bit? No?
I only need a mic for just a brief
exercise, but it doesn't appear to be on.
I think everybody can hear me. There's one point where I want you to be able to hear the phone, but it's not a big deal if you can't. I'm really thankful to be here. It's fun to come back after being here last year. And last year I did an iPhone presentation. Was anyone here for that? Good. All right. Well, we have learned an incredible amount. The AP was just beginning to work with iPhones last year. And I've always been a techie guy and a phone guy, but we made it official. And I was part of a 13-member iPhone test team where we not only had phones to use as phones, but we used them in the production of pictures for the wire and that moved out on the AP wire. And we've learned quite a bit from that. So I'm going to share some of that with you today. Did everybody get a copy of the handout? Okay. All the apps and everything that I'm going to talk about are listed in here. If you can resist the urge, as soon as I talk about a cool app, to go to the App Store and try and get it right away, you'll miss what's going to happen. We have a lot to cover, a lot of really cool stuff to cover, and I'm going to be doing kind of live demos of most of it on the phone, up on the screen, so you'll be able to see it. And there's some really, really cool things. Any baseball fans in the audience? Did you hear what I missed in Seattle today?
Oh,
yeah. I'm also a huge White Sox fan. So, I'm still glad to be here. If that tells you how glad I am to be here. But it's a little painful. So. What can you do? I've also sat through a lot of really bad Mariners games where I would have much rather been up here. So, just start this out. This isn't me, but this is a television camera guy who has a $50,000 ENG camera here. And he and I arrived to await the great tsunami after the Japanese earthquake on the coast of Washington that never came. But it would have funneled right up in here, would have made great video. And I just found it ironic that I took this picture that he has this big, huge camera, and he has a big live truck over here. And in the first 5 minutes that he's on the scene, he takes a picture with his phone. And he sends that picture back to the station, and they're going to put it on their website because it is immediate. It's more immediate than his big, expensive camera. And that's why, in part, that people do these phones. So first part of this is going to be up on the screen, and then I'm going to actually throw my phone up on the screen, but I'm going to just show you some of the things. Obviously, this is a big dust storm down in Arizona. iPhones have incredible value for spot news, not just in the hands of your staff, but in you identifying your readers and making sure that your readers know if they see news and if they get it on their phone, you want them to contribute it to your station or to your website or to your paper. Everybody has a phone. Spot news is documented incredibly well these days by citizen journalists. And as these phones are getting better and better and better, the pictures are publishable. They're usable. The picture of the plane that landed on the Hudson that everybody saw, that iconic picture a few years ago, was an iPhone picture. I think it was even a vertical iPhone picture, if I remember right. But it has just incredible value for spot news. This is Como, is our ABC TV affiliate. They're an AP still picture member. And this is a picture we got, what for us was an unusual amount of snow that you will laugh at. That it's front page news, but it brought us to a standstill. And this is a block from my house, and I walked out the door and set out for a day of shooting snow, but the very first thing I did was took a picture with my iPhone and put a caption on it, sent it to the AP, they turned it around, and probably within about 10 minutes it was the lead picture on this TV website. This was Here's the Globe and Mail in Canada. This was a picture, again, at the very beginning of a protest and counter-protest for efforts to legalize same-sex marriage in our state. I took a simple close-up of the buttons of a people who support marriage only being between a man and a woman. Again, sent it quickly from the cell phone because I had a whole hour's worth of work ahead of me. I couldn't sit down with a laptop. There was lots of things going on, and boom, it shows up on the Globe and Mail. This was a Occupy-related protest at our state capitol where protesters after hours surrounded our Capitol Christmas tree. And obviously a very fluid situation. Again, I was able to go up, make a quick cell phone picture, and they're getting used. This is primarily due to the quality of the iPhone. This is the iPhone 4S. It has an 8-megapixel camera. They redid the optics this year. It takes very good pictures under certain situations. Not everything. Here's another one. This was an ideal situation for using the iPhone. We had a very large group of troops return home from to Fort Lewis. And if any of you have covered this before, you know how long of a process it is. They get off the plane and they check in their gear and you're moving around. And there might have been some point where I could set up my laptop and file pictures, but I also might have been missing pictures. Or as soon as I did it, they might have said it's time to get on the bus and go to the gymnasium. And so I took this picture and sent it. And again, within a matter of 10 minutes, it was on the front page of the Tacoma News Tribune. And they used it as their lead picture for the next 6 hours, even after I had filed regular big camera pictures. And when they built a gallery out of my work, they kept the cell phone pictures in there. So that it has really arrived as a legitimate tool for photography. Advantages, obviously, you don't need a laptop to transmit a picture. It provides an immediate visual placeholder image. In the event of breaking news, I think it's really important for, we have a battle for viewers, and we want to, you know, everyone wants to be seen as, hey, we're here first, we're on the scene, you're going to get information from us that's better than everyone else, and they want, as soon as people get somewhere where something's happening, they want to have a picture that shows, hey, we're not just reporting from the station, we're here, we're going to get you the information. Galleries, photo galleries are a great driver of clicks and page views, and cell phones will just add to those. They will get a gallery if you send two or three cell phone pictures early on in a news event. That gets a gallery established, and people know, oh, there's going to be multiple pictures, and I can look through them now, and I can come back and find more of them later. Cell phone pictures are a great social media item. At the AP, we don't directly tweet or Facebook any pictures from the cell phone. All of our pictures still go through our desk and are still published out into our normal channels to members. However, for your publications, you could certainly, if no one's manning the website back at the home base, your reporters in the field and your photographers in the field can send out pictures as social media. And what's so great about doing that is if it's a cool picture and a person who regularly follows your paper sees it and then they say, oh, my Aunt Helen would love to see this picture, so I'm going to retweet it because I know she follows me on Twitter, and it just spirals out from there, and you're driving thousands of people, hopefully with a proper link, back to your website if they want to know more about that. Cell phones are great for one-person band where you're writing and taking pictures and doing everything. And, you know, stuff happens. We're always hopefully going to have our phones with us and be able to cover breaking news. It used to be, hey, answer your phone. Now it's, hey, answer your camera. This is just a little bit of the technical progression, and it's just going to go up and higher. There's a lot of droids out there. This is the most recent one. I'm going to talk primarily about iPhones. Do we have any non-iPhone people, or is it pretty much across the board? It's really dominating. Here's some comparison pictures that we did for a little study. Same guy, same lighting conditions. These are both a little redder than they appear on the monitor. But under normal daylight situation, that's pretty amazing. you're going to see a difference if you zoom in. You're going to see a difference if this was midnight under a street light. But side by side, they're there. Even in good light, your iPhone gives you a slower shutter speed. You can see this picked up a little bit on his strumming hand here. But for tonality and sharpness, and certainly for the web, it's really remarkable how close they are. This is a picture of our viaduct coming down in Seattle, taken with the EOS One Mark IV, and a similar picture taken with the iPhone. Again, here's a picture of a protester with the Mark IV, and the same protester with the iPhone. They're very, very similar. Again, you go to blow them up to a large size, you zoom in, they're, don't throw away the big cameras yet, but under good light, they can produce very good quality images. They're also really good for video. This was a guy down at the site. Let's see if we can get it to play here. And again, this is with no mics, no accessories. This is just straight off the phone. So, I mean, you could not do that with a phone, that sound quality and that picture quality, even 2-3 years ago. Some limitations of the iPhone, you're probably well aware of them. Limited zoom. There are programs that zoom, but they have to then upsize the picture to get the same resolution. You get slower shutter speeds in the same light. You've got less of that artistic depth of field separation, and low light performance varies greatly. Really, all these things, except possibly the last one, are not going to affect you on breaking news when time and speed is of the essence.
Hey, Ted.
Yeah.
Do you ever use the attachments, the lens attachments for the?
I don't personally. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. Right. There are wide angles and fisheyes and telephotos available for that. Whenever I need that feature, I've got them available to me, and so I haven't got into that, but those are available. The latest iPhone has some really cool doodads. You can access the camera directly from the lock screen. You can use your volume button as a shutter button. If you've got pinch to zoom, you can lock your exposure and focus and some other things, and I'll show you that when I do some of the demos. Some of the apps that I'm going to talk about today and demonstrate for you, you might be familiar with, some that you might not. I'm going to talk about Pro Camera, which is a camera replacement app, Canopy, Photogene, Bamboozer, JotKnot, Bluefire, and Scanner 911. But I'll show you all those things at live when I have the phone up. These are just some screenshots. Canopy is the company that makes the case that I use for my phone, and I'll show you some pictures of that. They also make this really good app with big, huge buttons. If you have to use this phone in bright light situations, or if you have to switch glasses for various things, it comes in real handy. It's a free app. It's on the list there. Canopy also lets you do time lapses. It is ridiculously simple. You put the camera on a tripod. It's the best app I've found for doing time lapses. You set the interval, how many seconds you want to pass between each picture. You set the total number of frames that you'd like to take. You set the time that you're going to capture, whether it's 2 hours, whether it's 3 hours, 4 hours. You set your playback rate. How fast do you want it to play back? Do you want it to play really smooth with a lot of frames? You want to play it back in a more jerky method. And it will tell you how long your end product will be. Real simple. So I did one here. It's a little jerky, but it took me about 10 seconds to set it up. And had I had time to wait for them to actually take down this span, it would have been a really, really, really cool thing to do. And it was easy enough to do. Let's see if I have that picture. Yeah. I have a case that has a vertical and a horizontal tripod socket on it, and I took my handy little tripod and put it on the traffic barrier there, and off we went.
Hey, Ted, can you tell us again where you got that?
Yeah, and it's in the handout. It's in the handout, and it's called, I have a slide of it here, it's called the Jumba case. It's right there.
Jumba.
There's a vertical tripod socket. There's a horizontal tripod socket. It's also a really good case, protects your camera. It's got ribs that keep the screen clean. Two-part case, it slides in and out. It's generally mail order only. They have tried to get into the Apple store. Apple likes one-piece cases. So if you got a two-piece case, you're not going to really play ball with them. But this company was started by a freelance photographer who works in Minnesota, and he used to work for me in Seattle. So that's how I found out about it. Another app that I'm going to talk about that I wanted to show this screenshot on the screen because it's a little easier to see than when I'm moving it around. There's lots of replacements for the stock camera. There's nothing wrong with the stock camera, but if you want more control, I really recommend, it's called Pro Camera. I think it's a $2, $2.99 app, and it's on the list. You don't need to run out and get it. The highlights of that, you can lock your white balance. You have a separate square that you can move anywhere on the screen, and that is where your focus point is taken from. You have another diamond. That's your exposure, and your exposure is taken from that. And so from any scene, you can focus exactly where you want, and you can set your exposure window on a light area or a dark area and therefore expose the picture how you want. There's a lot of other features that I will show you when I do the live demonstration, but Camera Plus is kind of the popular camera replacement app. I've used them both, and I prefer Pro Camera. It's really incredible. Once you've taken a picture in Pro Camera, you can do some really cool Photoshop-type editing, including adjusting your brightness, your contrast. You can technically provide a flash effect to lighten the picture a little bit. Your color saturation, even your white balance color temperature can be adjusted after the fact or automatic modes. And it happens really, really quickly. Those of you who are familiar with Photoshop and your levels, it's got a very level-like display there that is super intuitive to use. You can also crop your picture to any cropping, but you can also crop it to a preset ratio. And that's really cool if you have a standalone gallery template or your page designer has said, hey, it's horizontal or whatever. You can do that right from your phone and send it home quickly. Photogene, and now it's called Photogene 2 since I made this PowerPoint, and I'll show you that live, is the photo mechanic for the iPhone. There's really two programs. The other one is called FilterStorm. Do we have any FilterStorm users here? Any Photogene users? Has anyone heard of this? Okay, well, cool. You're going to love it. Any photo mechanic users? Photographers use photo mechanic? For those of you who are not still photographers, most newspapers, certainly The Wire, require that various caption fields be filled in on a picture that is sent in. And that helps page designers who know, there's a page designer right there, who want to know what's going on and who the credit is and when it was taken and all that. Photogene lets you choose which fields that you fill in and which ones you don't. It lets you preload your basic information and just stamp it on. And it lets you preset caption setups for anything that you shoot. And you can have 10 of them, 12 of them, and you hit a button and it's all there. You change the name and and you send it, and it's
so you're saying after the fact you have 10 pictures of a scene, you can batch caption them?
Yes, you can batch caption them, or you know, individually stamp them. You can copy an existing caption and put it onto one. It's just like in Photo Mechanic.
Cool.
It's slick. I will demonstrate it. Once you've got a picture on your phone, of course, you can email it or FTP it to your bureau. You can send it out as a tweet on Facebook and Flickr or Tumblr. You can even stream video live if you have a good enough connection, or put a video on YouTube. And all these apps that I'm showing you will let you do that. Again, some of the options you have in PhotoGene, you can reset your resolution, big or small. You can turn the captions on and off. You can geotag a picture. And those of you who tweet out pictures, geotagging will use your phone's GPS to electronically register where you are. You may not want to do this when you're taking a picture of your jewelry collection at home, but if you're out covering a news event, you turn this on and you tweet it out, and certain Twitter clients will automatically show where it is. And for a news organization or a newspaper, that's a wonderful, wonderful tool. They have built-in feeds to Twitter, Facebook, Flickr, FTP, which is very handy for those of us in this industry. Clappy it to your clipboard if you're going to go somewhere else in the phone with it, or email it. And I will demonstrate all that too. I want to emphasize the phone is a tool, and it's quick, and it lets you do really quick things, but it's useless unless you prepare. You've got to be ready. You've got to have your lens clean because it's been in your pocket, your battery charged. You know, move in close. There's certain pictures that are just not going to work with a cell phone. If you're in the back of the room and the subject's real small, the background's really nasty, you have to be more careful with the light than you do with the big one. Hold the phone. That means use a tripod. Choose the highest resolution. Avoid your digital zoom. You take more precautions than you will with a $2,000 camera to get the quality just right. When it comes to captioning, too, yes, you can write a caption on the phone. And if you have to do it with one finger on a little electronic keyboard, it's going to take you a lot longer than on your laptop. And you've lost the speed advantage that you have of using the phone. But I'm going to show you on PhotoGene how you can preload a caption, either for something that you cover routinely or the night before. If you say, oh, tomorrow I'm going to go cover the opening of the highway that's been closed because of the snow, I'm going to preload a caption in there. You also have the ability with this program, if you'd rather do a caption on your laptop or in Photo Mechanic, you can then email that picture to yourself, pull it into the program, and then capture the caption from that, and you avoid having to do any pecking on your phone. So it works very well if you prepare ahead of time. We've covered that. This is a great alternative if you already have a case that you like. If you don't like using a case, this little setup's about $30. It fits in your pocket. It will even go on a keychain if you wish. It's called the Glyph. I really like it. It consists of a little tripod-ready cradle for your phone. And then it also has a clamp, which they've added in the last 6 months, that actually holds the phone securely. Now you can turn it upside down or vertically, and it will do it. And if you're able to get one of these and throw it in your bag, then, again, you're tripod-ready, even if you don't have...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Battery packs. And so I always hate having to take mine out to fit
right.
Into the... will that work with that?
This won't, because it fits on the phone in here. Gorillapod, who makes these, they have a phone package that consists of kind of a clamp. I don't have a picture of it. That will clamp around most cases. And then it's got a tripod socket on it, too. And that's certainly an option. There, as someone mentioned, there's lots of ways to enhance the audio. This is fairly new. Fostex is a very established audio company. This is a really cool little device that consists of a stereo mic. Your stock mic on your phone is stereo. It's mono, but the phone has the ability to record in stereo. two high-quality mics. The phone slips into it just like a case. You would have to take it off your other case. It's kind of hard to see here, but you have four LEDs that will monitor your sound level, and so you can see how your sound level's recording. There is also a dial on the side that adjusts the gain of your audio recording, which is very handy for changing noise environments. Comes with a little stick for holding it. This is only one option. There's lots of little rigs and handles and steady cams. I wasn't going to get into all of them, but this struck my eye. It came out of the NAB show, and also has a little hot shoe on the top. There also is the ability to, in addition to these microphones, plug in, I think, either two or three additional audio sources to this, which would include like a wireless mic.
Have you checked out the use of those at all? Have you used them?
I haven't used those personally. I'd love to. The reviews that I've read are very, very good. Very good quality. iFi, who's familiar with this? Has anyone used that? iFi, and if I have time, I will demonstrate that as well, it looks just like a regular SD card. It's an 8-gigabyte card that has a Wi-Fi transmitting ability in it. And it is as simple once it's set up. If you are in a Wi-Fi environment, and that can be like in this room, or it can be through the little Verizon handheld device, if you are in that environment, you tag a picture on your camera. It transmits it to the phone in full resolution, and then you're able to slap a caption on it and send it off. And in competitive news situations, it's a lifesaver. In situations where you have to keep your spot in the crowd or else a TV guy is going to come and take it or someone else is going to take it, it's invaluable. If you're covering a basketball game and one of your editions has a super early deadline, give it a try. And shoot the action, you get a shot of a guy that you'll be happy to have in the early edition, and rather than going away from the court and doing the laptop thing, that the next time out you tag it, it comes on your phone, you've set up a caption, and off it goes. Really powerful, and it erases all the optical problems that you have with the phone because you're dealing with full resolution pictures. Very inexpensive as well. The iFi runs probably around $60 for the card.
Hey, Ted, are you seeing more wire photographers use the iPhone in that capacity just to get an early picture out?
Yes, we definitely are. And and again, in like Washington, D.C. situations,
yeah.
Huge. You know, it used to be the first to get... I mean, it's increased the pressure on those guys because it used to be who was going to be the first to... get to their laptop and get filed. And now it's, well, who's going to be the first to their phone? And who knows what's going to be next? But, yeah, it's definitely used. All right, I'm going to plug the phone in, and hopefully this will work. We tested it earlier and do some live demos with it. And again, all of these apps, I'm going to go through them fairly quickly, primarily because of the time that we've got. But I'll show you what they look like. So let's see if this great technology works here. There we go. There's my phone. All right. Come out here. First thing, if you have upgraded to the latest, the latest update to, it's iOS 5.1. You see the little camera icon down there? If you're in a hurry to take your picture, you turn on your phone, you don't even have to unlock your phone, you touch that little camera icon and slide it up, you're instantly at your camera. So you can take a picture, you can't do anything else, but it's instantaneous, and for breaking news, that's a great thing to do. A really cool little feature. But we'll go into the rest of it and get off of my text there. The next app that helps you be ready for anything It is an app called Capture. It costs a dollar. It's in the lower right-hand corner there. I like this app enough that I put it on my hard menu down there. I think I took iTunes off because I can always find iTunes. Capture is an app where the UFO has landed on the highway in front of you, and you're not going to go, oh, where's video? How do I do, oh, where's video? With one button, you launch the app. The UFO is gone. Come on now. Capture maybe not set up to feed out. There we go. Yeah, you launch the app and you are recording. I am now recording. And I'm not recording horizontally. There we go. No bells and whistles, no controls, but you're not hunting for it. So for that unexpected volcano or who knows, I've got this, so they don't have to say, how come you didn't get that? Cost me a dollar.
Ted?
Yeah?
Question. Is there any kind of app that locks your video camera into the 4x3 mode, the horizontal mode?
Yes. I don't know about horizontal, but the aspect ratio. And I will show you that with an app called Filmic.
Is there a shutter priority app?
There's not. Manual control over what passes for aperture and what passes for shutter speed isn't available. There's one feature of the Pro Camera app, which I'll show you, that lets you take very rapid pictures. And that's really cool. But as far as actually controlling it, no. So let's look at Pro Camera, because that is, again, my camera replacement of choice. You can see the two circles there in the middle. And when you drag them out, you can again place them. You can see when I place the exposure circle on a bright area, it's going to bring it down. When I put it on a dark area, it brings it up. I can move the focus around. I should do it out there where you guys can actually see. Or you can bring them back together. Gives you an incredible amount of control. We were doing this at the party last night, shooting out the door, and it was very effective in mixed light. You've got your flash controls. This adds a constant light source for your flash, like a modeling light.
Oh, yeah.
If you care to use that, it just helps you, figure it out a little bit more. But again, you're going to keep it off most of the time. This also has a video camera. That arrow button down at the bottom will let you switch into a video mode. Again, it lets you have the two controls over exposure and focus. Other than that, it is pretty much the same as the stock camera. We'll switch back to that. The little button to the right of the camera icon is a camera shake detector. And it's very handy in that to take a picture with Pro Camera, you can you press anywhere on the screen or you press on the camera icon and it takes a picture. But if I'm moving the camera or if I'm in a car or something shaky and I touch on the little sound wave icon, it won't take the picture as long as the camera is moving. But then when I stop and hold still, then it takes it. And that helps you in low light, or it helps you if you don't have a tripod. And you can set 3 degrees of sensitivity for that.
Is this what you use? Is this a program you use all the time to take pictures?
When I'm taking pictures with the iPhone, I use this program.
Okay,
yes.
So you always shoot through that grid.
Well, you can turn the grid off and on.
Okay.
I have it on for helping me take level pictures when I'm dealing with the phone because it's so light and easy. I have it on. You can turn it off. Lots of really cool controls on it. The white balance up at the top will let you not select the white balance like we'd like, but it will let you lock it. So if you're trying to achieve a certain white balance, you will point it and experiment, and at least you can tag it until it gets right, and then it's locked in and it's solid. You talked about the grids. I'm not going to get too much into that, but you can put any kind of grid off and on. You can even do a DaVinci type deal. You can do a compass if you really need to know where you are. You can also do a level if you want an electronic level. I don't I don't need any of that. But I do like my rule of thirds grid. Got a good self timer on it. One of the really cool features of this, and you'll be blown away by this, if you agree to go into a resolution of only 640, which is like an old school computer monitor, you can get incredible shutter speeds with, incredible frame rates with this camera. If you listen closely, can we hear that?
I have your sound now.
I do, because I was lecturing. That's fun. All right, you got to be out in good light, but it's a cell phone. It's cool. It's fun. And again, if you're doing something fun for the web, if something like a jump rope competition or dogs jumping off a dock, why not throw this on a tripod and motor through it, you know, and then figure out how to send it. It's amazing. If you go back to regular resolution, it's still really not slow. It'll be this fast. You know, pretty.
You got the dog on the dock and then in the water.
Yeah, but that high speed mode.
It seems like there's a little less shutter lag on that app than this.
It's very quick. I don't know whether they built it in or if it just happens to be, but it is very. You can also trigger it to a full screen trigger. I don't like that because I'm moving those circles around all the time and I accidentally take a picture. But like here, you can watch my thumb. I don't know if that's less lag, but it is very quick. Some other fun features in there, like I said, you can set the stability, you can set your self timer, rapid fire. It does have a good zoom. It will focus during video. It just gives you a lot of controls, an incredible amount of controls for a simple camera phone, or not so simple camera phone. You can even do you can turn your volume trigger off. You can do your geotags, and then more stuff.
Can you put copyright information?
You can embed
captions in this one?
You can do captions in this. I'm going to show you that next. But this is all, you know, everything else visually you can do.
Which one is this again?
This is Pro Camera. Then if you go into the pictures that you've taken, what you can do with those is, I mean, anything, but we'll say we want to do that. Pro Cut is anything to do with the cropping and the size. Again, as I said, you can set a ratio. You can rotate with any degree. And so we're all used to correcting horizons when needed. Of course, some of us need it more than others. But you are able to, when you're rotating, just do a slight rotation and get it right before you send it back. You can also crop to different ratios. There's 2:3, there's 3:4, there's 9:16, and there's anything you want. So that's handy, again, if you're trying to meet a website template. You can flop if you want, but we don't do that. And you can also rotate vertical to horizontal. So
when you make these changes, is it saving a copy so you're not screwing up?
It saves a separate copy, and that's user definable. But of course, we will keep our original and do that. So that's very handy. And in the Pro Lab settings, there you have the things I showed you earlier with your brightness, contrast, flash. Changing the white balance after the fact is actually fairly good. And you can do all that. And then your saturation. So you can tweak it so it looks like it should look. You can, of course, mess it up. But you can do that with your other one, too. If you're into the filters and the effects, I'm not, and journalists aren't. It's got a bunch of that stuff, but you know, that's fine. Pre-built in things, you know, that may work or may not, but honestly, I don't mess with those that much. So Pro Camera, really, really cool, great camera app that also does some really good things post-processing. It doesn't do captions, and it doesn't, the transmittal options are very limited. Like you can send by email, you can share via Facebook, Flickr, Dropbox. I mean, all cool and needed, but what we do after we've taken a picture and we get it looking the way we want, we go into Photogene 2. Photogene 2 is a $1.99 program.
Going back, do you have to shoot your picture through Camera Pro, or can you drag something into it?
That's a good question.
You can drag things.
You can work. Yeah, you can work on any picture that's in your camera roll. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Everything feeds into the one folder. So Photogene, then. Oh, we're gonna have to scroll through all of this stuff. Photogene lets you very rapidly look through your pictures, all this stuff that we've taken here, and we'll find something relevant here. So after you've taken a picture, they're all going to show up here. There's our remodel. There's my buddy and his friends. The principal at my son's school passed away unexpectedly. This is a memorial to him. I didn't shoot it for news value, but I shot it for our personal use. He was the crossing guard as well as the principal. Very sad story. So we'll work on this picture. Photogene lets you scroll through very quickly, see what picture you want. You tap it once, and now you are in a preview mode. You can zoom in and check your focus and see if everything is where you want it or not. Captioning is probably what we're all most interested in. This comes up for captioning. You can read all the info about it, of course. You've got EXIF data. You have a GPS location that will map it exactly where it was once this catches up with the data. But captioning, it has all the captions that you have on PhotoMechanic, and your author, your title, your author's title. And you can manually enter them at any time and do that. That's a little time consuming. You can load in your defaults. I have basic defaults for Seattle and my name and my credit. And if I'm doing a caption that I haven't preloaded, at least I have the basics. But where this is really powerful is with the pro option, you have sets of captions. And I have captions set up for the things I shoot on a regular basis, like our Capitol, our State House in Olympia. I do stuff at Boeing all the time. And so I have a Boeing caption there that has all the cities right and everything that I need to do. And they're there. And then all I need to do, and I'm doing this the night before, or I'm doing this while I'm waiting for the event to start, is I will go in and I will update the date and the details. I might leave a blank for a name or something like that, but the caption is all ready to go. And it is really fast to take a picture, open it up in this program, go into the set and say, use this set, and then boom, my picture now has a Boeing caption on it. And I can go in individually and change it, add a name, change the number or whatnot, but it doesn't take any amount of time at all. If I need to clean up this picture, there's also some really good settings here. This is where you can do brightness and contrast. You can do your saturation and your color. You can do your white balance. You can even take a sample, shadows and highlight details, etc. You can rotate also, like you can do over in the other one. Lots of good stuff. You can crop.
In terms of your post-shooting messing with pictures, do you like Photogene or Pro Camera in terms of
you know, white balance, saturation?
I generally will do as much as I can in PhotoGene because I go through and select the picture in that program, and I'm checking focus and everything else. I don't want to mess with the picture and then find out it's not sharp or something in the other one. But most of the time, I'm trying to do a minimal amount because the whole point is get it out and then keep shooting. You know, if I'm really going to tweak it, I'll go on the laptop. But I just want to show you guys that they're here and available, and you can do it. This is a cool button. It's right down here. Sorry, this table's blocking a little bit. The little AB button that lights up. That switches back and forth. It's like your Command Z. It lets you see the two versions and make sure that you haven't done anything bad.
Which button was that one?
Yeah, sorry. The wrong one. It's the AB button. Yeah, right down there. Once I have the caption on, I go to export it, and I can keep it the same size. I can resize it. I can even set the level of JPEG compression if I'm trying to deal with bandwidth or internet issues or, you know, file sizes or whatnot. I can do that right from the phone. I can turn geotags on, a watermark, which we don't care about, a date stamp, which we don't care about. Twitter, Facebook, Flickr, FTP. FTP is the biggest one in a pro situation. You can also have a history of all your other transmissions. So if you have to send to different locations, they're just there, and you tap on it, and off it goes. It's very robust. And it works really well. You can also email it. You can even send it to another device. Like Barbara loaded PhotoGene 2 last night at the party. Now she has PhotoGene. I can send it to anyone else who has PhotoGene if I want to. So really powerful for exporting. You can also go in and select multiple pictures. You can make the same adjustment on multiple pictures. You can put the same caption on multiple pictures, just like PhotoMechanic. So, great program. Most valuable for just how quickly you can put a caption on a picture and get it sent and then go back to work. So, probably enough about that. How are we doing on time?
What, JPEG compression do you find?
I'm at 0.9 because I'm in Seattle and the signals are good. I would go to a lower level if I'm out in the boonies. That's taking forever to send.
What's that? 50% or something.
Yeah, but most of the time, if you're sending a picture from a cell phone, you're using a pretty good area. Another app really quickly to show you. In the video world, this is called Filmic Pro. It's like $299 or something. It lets you shoot video with the same flexible focus and exposure buttons. It has a great audio monitoring level, so you can see that. Probably it's got white balance that you can lock. Probably most useful is you can set your parameters. You can lock in your horizontal, home button left, home button right, however you want it. That, Scott asked about that earlier.
You can actually, with the app before the capture one, they have it set up so that you can lock it.
Yes. Where you can set your resolution. You can set your frames per second up to 30 frames per second. If you're going to go in some situation and you've already shot everything at 24p with your 5D or something, you can shoot with your cell phone. Audio meter on and off, thirds guide, framing guard, color bars, even do a slate. There's some Apple standard. You can set different, you know, quality levels and stuff. It takes really great high quality video. Biggest limitation of iPhone video is the focusing is difficult. And if it's very tough to focus, there's no manual focus wheel or anything like that. But Filmic, if you're looking for great control over your video. Canopy, I mentioned, it's a free app. You don't have to use the case to use it, but it's a great camera app with really big buttons for controlling everything. It has your exposure lock as well, white balance lock. It does not have a zoom. I should show you the zoom on the other one. Lots of control for settings. And this is really cool. If you're into that, you can customize what a single tap, a double tap, triple tap does. Just a cool little thing. And this is free, so it's totally fun to play around with. Audio. Let's get off photography for a minute.
Wait, which one did you say had the zoom?
Pro Camera has a zoom. I'll show you that really quick. Pro Camera has a zoom, and you don't see it, but in this, if you go to the right hand, to this bottom part of the screen, it will show up. You have the option for it to actually just make a smaller picture when you're zooming, or it will actually upsize it to the full 8 megapixel size. There's limits to this, obviously, because it's a digital zoom. It's not an optical zoom. But when you do need to get close, it's there, and it's very, very effective. How many radio people out here? Audio guys. All right. Sorry for boring you with all the photo stuff.
We have to take pictures now.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, good. You probably have... what do you use for iPhone recording? Do you use anything special, or do you not, because you have a really cool tape recorder?
We just got iPhones.
Okay.
I use Blue Fire.
Blue Fire, it's free. It's great. And there's nothing really wrong with the built-in one, but again, for control, and this is on my list.
It is?
Yeah, Blue Fire's on the list in the handout. So we'll start recording here. Blue Fire gives you actual wavelengths, which is really cool because we're used to seeing that. We can tell if it's clipping. If you're 10 minutes into the interview and the subject finally says something interesting, you want to be able to find that in your recording quickly. So if you see this gray bar in the middle and you just put a little tap on that, I've got a marker. And you need this because you don't want to go back and find it. So every time you touch that and it's light enough, you're not going to make even it. You're not even going to interrupt the audio. You just touch it and you've got a marker. And I love that. You have a game control. And so you can sit there. When they start whispering, you can turn your gain up. And the whole time you're still watching, oh no, now they're clipping and I can come back down and get back to nice waveforms. I prefer the waveforms because that's what we see when we're editing and we don't see the little needles. This lets me know I'm getting a good, clean, non-clipped audio sound.
When you crank up the gain, are you adding a whole bunch of hits? Is the quality go way down? Or?
You're getting some. I mean, that's going to be on any tape recorder. It's not like there's a natural ability there and it's cutting it, but it's probably not as good of a gain as like on a really nice tape recorder, but it's decent. It's definitely decent. So very simple. There's some markers. He said something else really cool. We'll get the waveforms good. And you're there. So then you stop. You can start again in the same place. You can do a new one. You can go and see where all your markers are and get back to those. You can, that took me right to the spot where I marked, and that's huge for me. Sometimes I'm taking a picture on the other side of the room and I wish I could mark it, but if you're sitting there, it's really, really helpful. You notice that also you can log it. You can name it if you want, any of that. Another really, really cool function of this is, a half an hour interview on an iPhone recording is a pretty big file. You know, it's more than you can email sometimes. It has FTP on it, and you can upload it. But then there's this in the lower left-hand corner, it says transport. And that will take you back there. Lots of different settings, time settings. You can set it to record over a level or not, record it for length. You can set quality, etc.
But no editing in this one?
No, not putting sound together into a package, no.
You could feed this into your Final Cut, right?
Yes.
Will those markers carry over?
That's a good question. I do not know the answer.
Okay.
How do you get this to your laptop? You don't have to email me. You don't have to plug it in. If you're in a Wi-Fi spot, you click on the little world icon in the lower left on your recording. So I want to transmit. You notice this top one here was 26 minutes. That was a recording that I did. It was a big interview. And I need to send it to my laptop. I can play it. Anyway, you can make sure you know what it is. Getting it to your laptop is simple as typing in these numbers into your browser. And it sets up a little local area connection. Your phone and your laptop are within the same Wi-Fi zone. If I go and type these numbers into my browser, it will show up as, here's your recording. You hit save and download inside your laptop.
Can you do a copy and paste to get that in?
I do not think so. No, you would have to manually do that. It'd be cool if you could text it to yourself. That would be cool. Maybe on the paid version. I don't know what's on the paid version because this one is so cool. So anyway, great little interview tool, actuality tool. Putting things together, you would use another app. I didn't include a good audio mixing app in this roundup, but I really should have. Probably due to my limited amount of...
I know the built-in one you can just trim from the ends.
Okay.
But I just wonder if there's something else out there if you want to take something in the middle out.
Yeah. Oh. As far as doing that, I don't think you can on this. But I'm not... it doesn't appear that you can do that. But you can change the names. Anyway, great sound app. Let me move on. I want to show you guys more without keeping everybody too super late. A very fun tool. This is called 360. It's there in the lower corner for doing not just horizontal panoramas, but everything panoramas. And it makes it really, really easy. This could be fun for showing the crowd at the start of the Iditarod, or showing a forest with just huge canopy. And all you do is you kind of set up your first picture, take it, and then move around. And as you move the camera, it automatically fills it in and takes the pictures for you. Now, if people are moving, of course, it's not going to work, and it really helps if you have the camera at a good angle, but you can truly give a 360-degree view of any scene just by moving your camera around. And so, you know, you go in the mine or you go to whatever, some cool place that your readers are going to want to see. You put one of these together. And it produces an emailable link.
Oh, look at that, it's coming.
Yeah, so now we're back.
And it stitches it properly. Unbelievable.
Yeah, so it's cool. And now when we take a look at it, you can experience it. That. And you can... scroll around through it.
Oh man, that's creepy.
Or with motion related phones, you can sit there and explore it by doing your phone. If you're ever out to dinner with like five of your six best friends, it's really fun to sit there and do a big, hey, everybody's here, we miss you, you know, and then you send it. And you send it out, you can tweet it, you can email it. You can email it flat, and that would just go on your regular website. Or if you email the 360, it sends it to it, it saves it on its server, probably in some public version. And then your readers, you could just have, here, click here for a link, of an interactive 360 of whatever we were covering today.
But the audience wouldn't have to sign up for something.
No, they don't have to sign up. They just click and see it. Save it to your camera roll.
You can post the 360 version of your website and people can interact with it.
I don't think you can embed it. I think you post a link. And then they click on it. It takes them to the 360 website. But they're seeing it instantly right there. And then they can sit there and pan around and zoom around and all that. So it makes it very, very, very easy to do. You can set the style, like stereographic is even cooler. Let's go back and get out of that. And again, had we taken... There we go. I'm having dongle issues here. So again, you spend more time with it. You can also type in a little caption. It's fun. It's a fun thing to do, but how fun would it be to throw this up on your website? And it makes it really, really easy. There's a similar program called PhotoSynth. I just like 360, so I recommended that. Does anyone use your iPhones to listen to police scanners? Yeah, all right. So you guys are familiar with this. I don't know what you use. Do you use Scanner 911 or do you, there's
50?
Yeah, there's a bunch of different ones. For those of you who aren't familiar, I'll just show really quick. You can look based on your geography. So you drive into Sitka and something's going down. It's just a matter of clicking on it, and if the scanner is currently being publicly broadcast on the internet, you can access it and listen.